Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Can't tell you, I don't know where Michael went to, but the songs he sang today are perfect for the message that I have, the Lord's laid on my heart. So we're going to go to the cross today. But I want to start in John, chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read to you a little bit about what, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures today, but I find that the word speaks for itself. And we don't always need a lot of talking. But we're going to talk about the yes that was in the beginning. And then focus on our yes. And the Lord is all about yes. Yes and amen. So in John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It's talking about Jesus, right? You all know that. This is talking about our Lord and our Savior. He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. In the Greek, that word is logos. It means a thought or a concept and the expression or utterance of that thought. So when Father has, just think about that for a minute, when Father God has a thought or something that he wants accomplished, he just even has to think it, and the Word, Jesus is the manifestation of that thought. He's the what brings it into existence then. He's the manifest expression of God's words, His thoughts. That's a big yes. It's a big yes. In Christ are embodied all the treasures of the divine wisdom and the collective thought from God. He is the expression and the thought of all deity. So everything, us even, were created because Papa willed it and Jesus made it happen, right? It's a process of yes, 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 yes. So you have to picture Jesus, and he's up there with Father as the Word, and Father has a thought to create mankind. And Jesus makes it happen. And then mankind falls because love, that tree, we get upset at that tree. We really get upset at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the Lord had to give us choice because love demands choice. We choose to love. And if we don't have choice to love, then we're a puppet, right? We don't have the free will. So we have to have the choice. So God gave us the choice, and we chose all right. Adam and Eve chose for all of us. And so then Papa had another thought. How can, because you know, we're His children. We're created in His image, in His likeness. That means that everything of God, every attribute of God that is good is in us. We have the possibility to be amazingly good is in us, right? We're created to look, be the expression on the earth of God and His glory. doesn't always feel like that because this body is, this fleshy body is fleshy. And we struggle with knowing who we are. But the Lord, Papa put that in us. And then we chose wrongly and started living and walking in sin. And God's heart so on us, his children, that he had another thought. How can I redeem? Because the goat and lamb aren't doing it. You know, those things aren't enough. It's not enough. I want to add security and assurance. I want the assurance of salvation. I want it to be final. And I want it to go beyond my chosen people who I chose to show the world that you can't do it on your own. He chose the Israelites, he says, because they're stubborn and obstinate. That's what the word says, that that's why he chose them, not for their righteousness, but because they're stubborn and obstinate. So that's not on all Jewish people. That's not, it's just that at that they had a, that was just a characteristic at that time. And we're all stubborn and obstinate, but he chose a group to single out and show the rest of us that we cannot earn his glory, righteousness, his grace. We can't earn it. Excuse me. So he had another thought. Because his heart, if you look in the Old Testament, his heart was to always dwell with men, with mankind. He wanted to be close to us. That's why he had the ark, even the pillar and the fire. That's why he had that. He wanted in the temple. He wants to dwell among his people. But that wasn't enough either. It's not enough. God wants oneness with us. So he had another thought. If we can pull up Isaiah 53. The Lord's had me in this chapter probably, I don't even know, 10 years. And I can't go a week without reading it. And mostly it's every day. So I'm going to read the whole thing to you. And I'm going to read it in the Complete Jewish Bible because it has the best expression that I can find of what the words really mean that are in there. It says, who believes our report? And to whom is the arm of Adonai revealed? You know what? I feel like yesterday when I was with the Lord, he goes, I often go to, I have a few places that I go to with the Lord, but there's this garden that is one of my favorite. And I go looking there for him. And sometimes he appears to me as the lion. Sometimes he's Jesus. Sometimes he's the lamb. Sometimes he's a farmer. So, you know, it's just whatever, wherever I'm at the moment. And I couldn't find him. And so I looked in a few other places. And I'm like, Lord, where do you want me to be with you? Where's your heart today? And I immediately landed at the cross with him on it. So, as I read this to you right now, I'd like you to use your sanctified imagination and go to the cross and sit there and look at him as I read this this chapter to you. It's powerful. Who believes our report? To whom is the arm of Adonai revealed? For before him he grew up like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He was not well formed or especially handsome. We saw him, but his appearance did not attract us. People despised and avoided him, a man of pains, well acquainted with illness. Like someone from whom people turned their faces, he was despised and we did not value him. In fact, it was our diseases that he bore, our pains from which he suffered. Yet we regarded him as punished, stricken, and afflicted by God. But he was wounded because of our crimes, crushed because of our sins. The disciplining that makes us whole fell on him, and by his bruises we are healed. We all, like sheep, went astray. We turned each one to his own way, yet Adonai laid on him the guilt of all of us. Though mistreated, he was submissive. He did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to be slaughtered, like sheep silent before its shears, he did not open his mouth. After forcible arrest and sentencing, he was taken away. And none of his generation protested his being cut off from the land of the living for the crimes of my people, who deserved the punishment themselves. He was given a grave among the wicked. In his death, he was with a rich man, although he had done no violence and he had said nothing deceptive. Yet it pleased Adonai to crush him with illness, to see if he would present himself as a guilt offering. If he does, he will see his offspring, and he will prolong his days. And at his hand, Adonai's desire will be accomplished. After his ordeal, he will see satisfaction by his knowing pain and sacrifice. My righteous servant makes many righteous. It is for their sins that he suffers. Therefore, I will assign him a share with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the mighty, for having exposed himself to death and being counted among the sinners, while actually bearing the sin of many and interceding for the offenders. Yet it pleased Adonai to crush him with illness, to see if he would present himself as a guilt offering. The word was hung on the cross. The word was with God from the beginning, and all things are created by him and through him. I have felt Father's heart. One time he had me watch the Passion of Christ against my will, but I had a yes. And I screamed for 3 hours, no, 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 no. I kept crying, no, no. And in my head I was going, that's crazy, because, okay, this is upsetting, but I'm not. That upset, and I couldn't connect the passion of no that I was feeling until later. And I was sharing it with Dave, and he goes, Dave Raymer, and he goes, do you know that was the Father's heart you were feeling? Even though it pleased him to crush him, it was his son. It was sin free. But it took that kind of sacrifice. It took God himself to come and be sacrifice in the flesh, to pay for flesh sin, to pay for fleshly sin, right? If we turn to Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus, answering him, said to him, Permit it at this time, for in this way it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he permitted him. Jesus had not sinned. Why did he need to be baptized to fulfill righteousness? When I read that the other day, it really was like, okay, I've read this many times. So I went to every Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I read that passage and how it was spoken in each one of those. And what was it about fulfilling righteousness right there that needed to happen? Because he hadn't sinned. And in the Bible, it says that in this passage, earlier on in that section, it says that baptism is for repentance and confession. That's what John was teaching. His baptism was for repentance and confession. So what was Jesus confessing or repenting of? You ever thought about that? Like, what did that have to do with righteousness? And then it dawned on me. Actually, it was the Lord turned on a little light there. Jesus was a Jewish boy. He was a devout Jew, raised in a very, very, of course, devout Jewish family, and he was taught the Old Testament, right? Isaiah 53 was written about 600-700 years before Christ. He knew what that scripture said, and he knew by the time he was 30, he knew who he was. He had to be baptized to say yes to his death and resurrection. He said, yeah, he said yes. He knew the cost. That's when he stepped into his ministry, not when he turned the water into wine. It was when he said yes to baptism, to being buried, signifying death, and raised to new life. That fulfilled righteousness. That said, yes, Papa, I'll do that. I'm saying yes to that. Isaiah 53, if you read everything that's in there, he knew that he would have to bear sin, never knowing what that felt like. Not just one or two people, but everyone past, present, and future. Can you imagine the weight? What it felt like for God to feel defiled? The pain and suffering, the kind of death he knew. It was all written right there. It was all written. And as a little boy, you know, and a young man in his 20s, he would be reading that and he would know the amount of suffering he would be asked to go through. And he said yes. In the flesh, he didn't say yes as God. He said yes. The Bible says that all that Jesus did, he did in the flesh so that he could conquer the flesh. Can't conquer the curse on flesh without it took a flesh, it took a human sacrifice that was pure and holy. That yes is amazing to me. It like reverberates through eternity. And we can't comprehend it. If that doesn't set us in awe of God, I don't know what will. We should be in awe of a God that loves like that. That's the most powerful expression of love that I know, that I can see. It was God created us out of love, and yes, and all the amazing miracles and everything, but that? Jesus could not have done it without a serious love connection with Father. He could not say yes. You know people, you've seen people that you really admire that lead amazingly sacrificed lives, and we wonder how do you do that? What's in you that causes you to lay down your life for the Lord? It's that love commitment with a huge yes. That love anchors the yes. The Bible says Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Obedience is a direct result of our commitment in love. It takes love to be obedient. Otherwise, we're just going through the motions, and it's meaningless. It's meaningless if love's not there. There's power in love. Power in love. In that 16, it says that Jesus, after being baptized, verse 16, after being baptized, he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove. John saw the Spirit of God descending on a dove and lighting on Jesus. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." In this passage right there, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All agreeing to that death and resurrection that is coming to him. All agreeing with that big yes right there, that one act of obedience sealed his fate. He committed. It was a commitment, a covenant with God. I am putting everything in this yes. Without that, we as Gentiles wouldn't have a lot of hope, and we'd be we'd still be sprinkling with lamb blood and doing sacrifices and hoping, but not knowing. We can walk in knowing. We can know that we belong to Jesus Christ, that we have life and eternity with him, without doubt. Let's turn to Colossians 2. Starting at verse 8. This is so amazing. You know, on the cross, not one person realized what was happening. I mean, his mother was there and Mary. I mean, they all saw it, but they did not know what was happening. He actually destroyed the barrier between us and the Father. No more barrier. Now we can go boldly before the throne. We can have access. Free. There's now no shame and condemnation to us who are in the Lord. I mean, do you see that? I mean, I know you know this, but I'm always asking God, I want the revelation. I don't want just the knowledge. I want the revelation, the deeper revelation, so that it hits my heart and stays there. In Colossians, it says, Paul is speaking, and he says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. He is the head and rule over all authority. And in him, this next part describes how we are made complete. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Excuse me. In the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. That was a done deal. A done deal. So baptism, if you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to be. Because of the identifying with the Lord, the commitment that it brings. I'm not saying that you're not a Christian if you're not baptized. We're not going there. But it brings a level of identity, identifying with the cross. And the Bible tells us to be baptized. So there's no reason for us to not be. But having buried with him in baptism. So in that picture right there of being buried with Christ in baptism, that's dying to self, and that he paid that price. Like he died for us so that we can do it. He paved the way. He broke the spiritual resistance, he opened a door by dying so that he could take our sins and pay the price. And then and then when we're raised up out of that water, it signifies coming. Water is life. And so the river of life, you know, it's life-giving. We all are made of water. So it's a real strong picture of coming up out of that water, cleansed to new life. Sins washed away. That's a yes. We need to say yes to that, to the cross. We need to say yes to that death and raising up to new life. We struggle with the yes. Can we say yes that God is good when we're going through our worst nightmare? And some of you have done it. You know, I look at Denny. Trial after trial after trial, physically especially. And he still says yes with a smile. He still believes that God is good in the trial. Can we do that? Or do we get, too often I think we get angry at God in the trial. Because he didn't protect us, or he didn't come through for us, or he didn't save my bank account, or whatever it is, it goes on and on, because there's lots of trials, and everybody has some. The Bible word says we will. We live in a fallen world, and we're going to have trials. What does your yes look like? What does my yes look like right there? Can you say that God is good in your worst trial, in your darkest place? What does your yes look like? I want to challenge you. if your yes is weak, you're not going to stand in the bigger trials. They're possible. It's possible you'll never have another one in your life. I kind of doubt that, but it's possible that you think you've faced your worst one and there could be a worse one yet. And what would your yes look like? And that can only come out of that love relationship. You cannot have that yes in your heart. It'll get shaky. And you'll get angry. And you'll start blaming the Lord. And I understand getting angry for a short moment because we're finite, right? We have, compared to God, we don't see the big picture. But that anger is only because we're not understanding Him. And so we get angry at what we don't understand. And God has grace for that. So I'm not putting, I'm not getting after. But there's a place where no matter what trial comes at you, that all you see is the goodness of Christ in the trial. That makes no earthly sense. That's a kingdom perspective that you can only get by gazing on the King. Can only get it by gazing on the King. So what does your yes look like in the trial? What does your yes look like when it's good? It's easy to have a yes. When the money's flowing and everybody's happy and everything's peaceful, the yes is easy. It's easy to glorify God there. But it's not so easy when it's hard, when a hard place. So I want to challenge you today. What does your yes look like in the hard place? Have you committed to the Lord in the dying to the flesh and raising to new life? If you haven't been baptized, I'd encourage you to get with the leadership here, and we'll set that up for you. It's an amazing commitment. It's a public commitment that yes, I am saying yes to the cross and the life of Christ. We're saying yes, Jesus, your life was worth it to me because you gave me life. So I invite Michael or whoever can play some keys to come up and I want to encourage you to come to my workshop. A lot of people have asked me, is it the same class all three nights? No, it will build upon each other, but it will show you how to heal up, clean up things that are keeping you from a big yes. Our yes needs to get bigger because things are going to get darker. Just in the world, things are getting dark. And if we don't have a big yes, we're not going to be able to stand in it. And so that love between us and the Lord will increase the yes. And so it's also going to be about plugging in to that yes. I feel like there's, we all need to be reminded of the cross. We all need to sit at the feet, the bloody feet of Jesus right there. We need to gaze on that cross and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. We need to go to the tomb and look in there and say, thank you, God, thank you. You need to visit those places. Just use your imagination and do it. Don't be afraid to go there. Read the word. If you have trouble visualizing, that's okay. Read the word and get in there and meditate on it. Sit there in that place. Gaze on it. And let the Lord speak to you. Let Papa speak to your heart. wants to love on you in those hard places. That was a hard place for Jesus. It was not an easy thing. Even though he knew the outcome, to go through that as a man. No, you didn't deserve it. You know, if he would have opened his mouth there, the reason he remained silent is if he would have uttered one word of protest, it would have been done. It would have stopped. He didn't. It wasn't even in his mind. Amazing grace has a sweet sound. Could you sing that, Michael? Amazing grace. Can we all sing that? Like a bigger yes, I invite you to come forward. We'll pray for you. If there's anything hindering your yes, any doubts or any struggles, anything doesn't belong there, we want to get rid of those hindrances. Also, since Jesus paid for illness, as you read, you saw it in there. We often doubt that, but no, he paid for that too. If you have any physical things in your body that you'd like prayed for, I'd like you to come forward. And just, we're just going to have a time of prayer and pray for each other. Just begin to reach out and touch someone. Begin, reach out and just show love to each other, to express concern and grace. And we just want to have a time of ministry and worship and prayer. Like the healing team and any pastors to come up that would want to pray for people. You have to ask yourself, are you putting conditions on your yes? Are you in the hard places? Are you saying, God, I'll say yes to you if you do this? It doesn't work that way. What you're saying yes to is, yes, God, I'm going to trust you here in this really hard place to guard my heart. It doesn't mean that the bad thing's going to stop happening. It means that in this place, you're going to trust the Lord to guard your heart, and He's going to do all that He can do, working within the free will of mankind, in order to work that to your best. He's faithful. He's faithful to your heart. Father, I just thank You. God, we thank You. We praise You. You're amazing, God. We love You. I ask that You give us all an awe of You. Each person here, Lord, I ask that You send an angel right now to help each person here have a gift of awe, a gift of awe. That we would be filled with eyes that are so bent on gazing at You that we see nothing else. That everything else pales in comparison. Lord, I thank You for Your word that it is life and food to us. I just bless each one of you going out in the name of Jesus. And I pray that your moving forward would be with a big yes. So I bless your day and thank you for coming out.